Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Everybody, my name's Sue Supriano, and I'm very honored today to be speaking with Alice Hamburg. Alice Hamburg has been on the front lines of progressive activism in the San Francisco Bay Area for over half a century, and her struggles have spanned school integration in Berkeley to national demonstrations against atomic weapons tests. She is the mother of three children. And was raised by Russian immigrant Jewish parents in North Dakota. And she is just incredible. She's also my neighbor. And I've known you, Alice, for some years now, and you're definitely a role model in me, a role model for me. You've been active with both the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and the Women for Peace, and just connected to a lot of different issues and a lot of different organizations, and I would say with a focus on anti-nuclear work and anti-Vietnam, anti-war, peace work. Would you say that's right?
That's right, and add to that anti-discrimination, working for a color-free society, hoping someday to see that.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely tireless. And it's been, way over 50 years you've been an activist, huh?
I think so. It's a little hard to for me to realize the length of time, but it's true. I can't deny it.
Yeah. Well, you're still one of the most active people I know, and most definitely up in years.
Well, my purpose in writing my autobiography is to leave a record for my children who maybe perhaps did not always understand why their mother was so busy, and also to give an idea to other people how they can, by their own efforts and working with others, can influence events as they work at. Changing things, they can do it, and to never become discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're certainly an example of that, and I haven't even mentioned your book, which is called Grassroots from Prairie to Politics, the autobiography of Alice Sachs Hamburg. So it's really incredible that you've written this book, and I was singing in the introduction, you said, well, you haven't written it earlier because you didn't want to take time out from all the other activism you're doing, and you're just so much more active practically than anybody I know. I want to ask you first off, well, you grew up in North Dakota. Your parents were immigrants from Lithuania, and you grew up in a farming community, a Jewish farming community, you were telling me, which is most unusual in the United States. And I wonder, what was your inspiration to get into all this political activity? You also used to be a teacher. Anyway, so let's just go back a little bit to the beginning there, although we won't spend too much time because there's so many things to cover in a short time here, Alice.
I have to tell you that my family did not remain very long on this farm, on this marginal farm in North Dakota. My father was always looking for greener pastures, and when I was very young, we started moving from one place to another, mostly in the Middle West. And eventually, when I was about starting college, we finally moved to California. And my father had a relative with the glass business in Fresno, and that's where we settled for the first year or so, year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then my family moved to Los Angeles, where I attended UCLA for one semester, and eventually after that transferred to UC Berkeley. And since then, I've really, although I spent a large part of my life in the San Joaquin Valley, I've always wanted to return to Berkeley, where I am now and where part of my family, good part of my family, is centered here.
And of course, this is a great place for activism, to which you've added so very much. I think I first met you in Women for Peace way back in the 60s.
Early 60s,
yeah. And as I'm looking through your book, which I really want to urge people to get, we're going to give you the address in a while for how you can do that. The name of the book is Grassroots, From Prairie to Politics, the Autobiography of Alice Sachs Hamburg. I'm seeing all these pictures of you with really famous people, and Ron Dellums, Martin Luther King, all just lots of different things.
Nobel laureates like Pauling, and several others, Martin Luther King Jr., and let's see, I have another laureate in there, but right now I can't remember. My memory is not as good as it used to be, so...
Well, it's at least as good as most of us who are over 50, and you're well over 50. So it's really been such an incredible life you've had.
And although it was a very important part of my life, I have not yet mentioned that I met my future husband in Fresno, and he was an immigrant from what was then Palestine who had come to the University of California to study agriculture. He found classwork not very practical, and he started working on the various ranches around in the valley. That's how he landed in Fresno, and that's where I met him. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had a profound influence on my life. We had... three children together. We did not always agree about child raising, but about other politics. After he settled in the valley and was able to acquire some land and became very much involved with the other farmers, some of it rubbed off on him, and he began to lose some of his original political idealism, activism. So we had some problems following that. But I felt that I had to continue what I was doing because it was a big part of my life, and I couldn't not do what I found very interesting and challenging.
And didn't you write his biography, your husband?
Yes, in 89 I published, the Magnus Museum, Western Museum, published the book, Sam Hamburg, Pioneer Farmer in California and Israel, because he was to return to Israel, and he did return to introduce cotton culture there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see in the book that, and of course by knowing you myself, how you interweave your personal situation as a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent with your political activities. And I know that's it's just a lot to take care of. And also, when you started being an activist, Alice, this certainly was way before at least the modern women's movement. So it must have been way more unusual for a woman to be stepping out and speaking up as you did than it is now.
Well, I think that aspect of my activism just came along naturally. I did not I did not start out as a feminist, I don't believe. My main purpose was to educate myself, to help my family. We were very, very poor, and to influence others, other parents, so that their children would have a slightly different outlook. And my aim has been really to improve conditions that I see around me, and even nationally and internationally. It's been part of a whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly vouch for that, because I know that as you're working on international issues, you're always collecting clothes, and you're just working to help people and collecting food and just doing everything you can at every kind of level. What was your inspiration? What do you think is the reason that you have focused on this activism, whereas so many people don't, unfortunately?
I think that there is a very strong strain throughout the history of the Jewish people to try to improve the lot, their own lot, as well as the lot of others. And so I think that some of my inspiration was from the Bible, including even the New Testament. I think my purpose has been not only I wanted to say also that my parents, although not educated in this country, were interested in politics also. And I remember my mother, after the family moved to Los Angeles, I remember my mother distributing literature in the Helen Hagen Douglas campaign, and when Roosevelt was first running. So although she was not really literate in English, she was still doing her part. And my father was a real news junkie, and I'm afraid I'd take after him. Mm-hmm. So I give them some credit, too. And they never tried to stop me in any way. I didn't get any direct guidance, but I could follow their example. And I think I'm fortunate in that I was never restrained by them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alice Hamburg, what you mentioned before we started talking, recording here, that you were very traumatized by being called before the Burns Committee, which was a state of California, like the House Un-American Activities Committee, which, for those of you who don't know, was really very right-wing, out to get folks by calling them communists, whether they were or they weren't, but any kind of squelch any kind of activism, which still goes on today, of course. But this was, when was this, the Burns Committee? When were you called?
It was not 1951, which was pretty early, because the big anti-HUAC turnout in San Francisco was later than that, I believe. I think it was I was called before the California State Un-American Activities Committee in 51, and I think that the HUAC hearings in San Francisco were later than that. I don't remember right off the year, but it was a very traumatic experience, because I had not been exactly in the forefront of the battle, but I had been involved with the Arts, Science, and Professions organization, mostly Hollywood people who were distributing the Stockholm Peace Appeal, and that might have been one reason. I was also the secretary of the local junior high PTA, so it was a little incongruous, and
Very threatening activities at PTA. Got to watch out for those PTA folks.
Well, on the contrary, they tried to force me to resign from the PTA, and that would prove to be a real fiasco. But it it hardened my determination when I saw that people were losing their jobs and there were some suicides because of people being called before the various Un-American Activities Committees. And from then on, I joined the Quakers who were also working to help the people who had been subpoenaed, and I helped some individuals get other jobs because the Red Cross, for instance, dropped people if they were called. And from then on, I think it's been kind of a I don't know what you would call it, the lifetime work. Mm-hmm. And we've won a lot of battles, but we still have to keep at it. And we need, the problem now is that my generation is really dying off, I'm sad to say. And what we have to do is to inspire other people coming along, and younger people, and to continue the struggle. Otherwise, we're threatened with becoming a totalitarian country ourselves.
Not to mention just extinct on the planet. There might be no more humans at the rate that we're going. I was going to ask you about that, Alice Hamburg, what you think now about what's going on, because this whole un-American, you know, going after people and kind of lack of freedom is got its own storyline right now, which is a little different than in the 50s, but not that different, it doesn't seem to me. How does it seem to you?
I watch the news very closely, and I take a great encouragement from young people. I think that the generations coming along now are not going to sit back and take this kind of thing. And the inspiring examples were the turnout in Seattle, the end of 99 at the World Trade Organization gathering, and there at every meeting of international capitalism, there have been wonderful demonstrations, creative people, and I think that it is our duty to support these young people and to help in their education, to showing the connection between the battles that we've been fighting these many decades and what is going on today, except that today, with the anti-environmentalism and with the globalization of trade, it is all the more critical that we meet these threats and involve as many of the younger generations coming along in order to preserve our civilization.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of advice do you have about organizing? Because that's, it seems to me, a kind of a crucial thing to know how to do. And it's such a challenge. I mean, it's one thing to talk about organizing. It's another thing to actually do it. And, of course, that is such a big challenge, is to get enough people who speak up and who understand. Because we have to make up for, in numbers, what we don't have in money and therefore that kind of power.
I think that the young people who are involved really do not need to be pushed by us. I think that there are many, and there are more people all the time. And what is more young people and not so young people who are becoming involved in world affairs? And I think that young people have the creativity, and there are their leaders who have the background and the experience. But I think what we need more than anything else is to help integrate the past, the successes of the past, and what the lessons are for the future. I think that we can perhaps give some guidance and a great deal of encouragement, but I think the creativity is coming from the young people, and it is most heartening. And their courage and their really is just really amazing. I think that we've never seen the kind of imagination and courage on the part of these people who are willing really to risk their lives in order to fight against globalization, which is resulting from the impoverishment of Native peoples, and even in our own country, with the unemployment being caused by the tremendous with a consolidation of all these corporations and the internationalization of capital means that people not only in this country are losing their jobs without any promise for the future, but the kind of industrialization that is going on is depriving the rest of the world of their resources, and also it is something that really requires a great deal of planning and cooperation, and we can't leave it to the young alone. The rest of us have to hang in there and give them the support that they need, because times are really very, very, very challenging. The challenges that are faced today are greater than those of the past, and require a great deal of cooperation and assistance. And that's where we come in. We have to hang in there and be available to advise and to cooperate with the young people.
And probably to give money, too. That was probably something else that can happen, to donate money, I was going to say, because that's something that you can do without going on the front lines.
Well, yes, I'm glad you reminded me about that. We do, the organizations that I work with are constantly raising money, and we are assisting wherever. We assist the homeless and youth that are on the street, and especially in Berkeley, we have many, many demands in the Bay Area because of the very out-of-reach housing rentals, and we have more problems than we've had in the past, particularly with the new administration, which is not very concerned about the welfare of the average person.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say, with your longer view than many, many of us have, that things are worse now than you've ever seen them, because oftentimes people say, oh, they've always been bad, they'll always be bad, that's why we don't have to do anything about it. So I'm interested to hear you say that, Alice.
Well, I think that the people who are trying to run the world have developed their skills maybe at even a faster rate than those of us in the opposition, and doublespeak has certainly come into being, and it is our purpose to educate, because we who are older have seen these subterfuges and lies and misstatements by those in charge. In fact, we have to alert people who have become very hopeless, feeling very hopeless, and have refused to bother to vote. And we have to get people involved again.
Mm-hmm. We don't have too much time left, but I wonder if you said about educating people about some success stories of activism. Is there anything that's on the top of your mind you would like to share about that, Alice, some success stories in your life?
Well, it's very interesting that some of us who in the past have been criticized and pilloried when we're when we're called before various investigative committees have in later years won many honors, and it is really very amusing. The San Francisco Examiner, for instance, had pretty lurid stories during the McCarthy period about the victims who are being called. And just a couple of years or so ago, they ran a couple of articles about some of us and the fact that we had come out on top and that we were admired citizens today, whereas a few years ago we were the red menace. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is a lesson for people because you have to, if you study history, you have to take a long-term view.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. And you have certainly gotten many honors in the last while. And I wish I had a list in front of me, but I don't. But you have very well-deserved honors, Alice Hamburg. And that's a really good point, because when it feels so discouraging, things change sometimes.
Well, the American Friends Service Committee is certainly not a very radical organization. And just a few months ago, another friend of mine in a Berkeley resident and I were honored for 50 years of activism in the peace movement. And that was in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the honors. And the Berkeley Foundation also honored, I was recommended by Women for Peace for one of their annual honors. So that was very surprising also.
Well, as I say, very well deserved, and I know that you're a role model for many of us. And you're going to be part of the whole world's watching peace and social justice movements of the 1960s and 70s. That's a documentary photography exhibit that's going to be touring around the United States, starting out here in Berkeley in September. And so if you see that, check it out. And Alice has written for the writing in the essay. Book that goes with it, one of the essays. And also look for Alice Sachs Hamburg's book, Grassroots, From Prairie to Politics, the autobiography of Alice Sachs Hamburg. I'm going to let you know how to get it. So get ready to write it down. It's the Creative Arts Book Company, 833 Bancroft Way, Bancroft, Bancroft Way, Berkeley, California, 94710-2235. The phone number is 800-848-7789. So you can get Alice Hamburg's book, Grassroots, From Prayer to Politics, from Creative Arts Book Company, 833 Bancroft Way, Berkeley, California, 94710-2235. Phone is 800-848-7789. And I really appreciate this interview with you, Alice Hamburg, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It was very pleasant talking to you.
My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.